But the reason why we're all here tonight is to introduce our speaker coming up from the Fresno. I'd like to thank Jeff for bringing her up here, and I'd like to introduce her tonight. Come on up, Deborah L. from Fresno.
Hello, everybody. I'm Deborah L., and I'm an alcoholic. I say alcoholic because I did other stuff, too. I'll respect traditions and try to keep it to alcoholism, but you know, I don't do that too well. Welcome to everybody that's new, everybody with tattoos, and the muggers. Hello, muggers. I like the muggers. I was a mugger. And today, I don't know, man, something happened, but I'm going to tell you about it. Jeff, thank you, bruh. Thank you. I've been knowing this man since we had hair in the four-pack back in the 90s. My first rodeo was with A. Well, the A was in the 90s, 91 to be exact, July 21st. But I didn't stay sober or anything. The longest I ever did was 5 years. And but I got sober with country western boots on and shit with a bunch of white people and AA. And they were dykes on a bike and shit. And there was this motherfucking exclamation point in the group. And I didn't know what else to do because I was hanging with my sponsor. And, you know, we did a lot of stuff like went to Tootin' Boot and Scoboogie concerts. And, I mean, here's a Latina fucking cowboy boots. That was just ironic now that I'm thinking about it. But the fact of the matter is, hey, I look good in whatever I wear. That's just the facts. You know, we're old now. Me and Jeff were some sexy. We was doing it big in the 90s. And, you know, now we still look good. You know, we look pretty good. Teeth are mine. They are mine. They lie when they say that substances take out your teeth. That's not true. Hygiene destroys our teeth. I know that because I went to college, too. I ended up doing a lot of things in the first 5 years, but I'm going to tell you what brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got raised in a family where there's alcoholism. My dad was an alcoholic. My mother was mentally ill, but she looked good doing it. I didn't know that was mental illness, though. So there's such thing as dual diagnosis. Welcome to your dual diagnosed motherfuckers. And I don't take psych meds because I went to Valley State Prison and found out they only gave Abilify, and I didn't want that shit. They only put it in Pruno, and I didn't drink that shit. But what I did was I started drinking. My dad would give, in a Latin family like that, my dad would give his alcohol and tell me, and I remember I was in a diaper. And he would tell me, "Andale, mija, baile le twiste," and I would do that. But he thought I was doing it for attention, but I was really doing it for that black and gold can. He drank Coors. So out of six kids, five of us became substance abusers. We didn't know what was the family dynamics. We didn't understand all that. So what I witnessed as a child was anything that happens to a child between 2 and 6 is really real. In child development, they'll tell you, those are the whatever you teach a child, it will not be eradicated. Now, if you don't know that word, I'll talk to you after the meeting, but I'm going to keep going, okay? But what that means basically is this. If you're damaged and you're beaten and you're told and you're Satan, the devil, and you're beaten by your parents, who are your first example, we develop this thing called a hate and a fear so threatening that I didn't know how to sleep as a child, so I was always, anxious. And that's where I found comfort. My mom had six kids, so all of us four in diapers. Boom, 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 right? And then there was a break somewhere in there. She had a break. I don't know. Maybe my dad got arrested. I don't know how the fuck. But the other two were back to back, too. So there was always one coming out of diapers. My dad beat my mother our whole childhood. I remember stabbing my dad in the neck with a butter knife at 3 years old. I jumped on him because he was beating her. I didn't know blood he wasn't killing her. I didn't know that. So how we know this, I don't know. Some people's lives aren't this tragic at the beginning. This is before alcohol, y'all. No, I had alcohol. My dad was giving me alcohol. I got put out at 15. Long story short, this is only a 50-minute thing, and I want to get to something that's more important here. Because it's obvious I look like this on purpose. I really do. I look like this on purpose. Some of us cannot really, really get this program. And I found out why. Because I'm a relapse queen of the San Joaquin, too. I just drink. I'm allergic. I tell people that, I go, "Why don't you drink?" I go, "I'm allergic, man. I break out in felonies and handcuffs, you know?" And they just look at me like, "This bitch is sexy, but she fucking, something wrong with her." Men, women, they do it to us, huh? They just... But you know, I didn't have that problem. See, when I first got sober and I came in AA in the 90s, I was 86 pounds. I'm gonna tell you, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, my mother put me into the streets at 15, and my family come up in a, we did all Northern California. You guys get my, that's it, Northern California. I didn't come south of Bakersfield. Fuck y'all. Unless I was going to... But I would go to San Diego, both borders, you know. We don't do zip codes, we do state-to-state shit. So I didn't understand small crime and kibbles and a shot. Everything was an obsession with us. Guns were beautiful and big. I called them jewelry. I didn't know that they were called weapons. I really thought they were jewelry, and my uncles carried them. We carried them. And this is when they wore suits and did business at the table during the mafioso years. I don't know about all this shit. You guys all sagging your pants, not looking all fucking homeless and shit. You can't sell money. You can't make money like that, man. You just can't. So I learned a lot of respect in the game back then. They don't got that no more. You know, you guys, this is really played out. I don't even know you crystal methods if you're really doing drugs. That's all chemicals, dude. There ain't no drugs in there. So that really blows my mind. I don't know what you guys are doing, but get on it if that's what you got to do. I'm really bad. I got into Alcoholics Anonymous after 15 years on the streets, and I did pretty good. I was riding Harleys to San Francisco, Doggy Diner. My brothers got stabbed. I have three brothers murdered. I was murdered three times and I lived. They saved my life. So this is the real tragedies of some people, and why I'm standing up here, I have no idea. And sometimes I shake and cry when I say that because I should be dead, man. And I only emotionally get it when I'm standing here because it's overwhelming, man. When you think back and you've been spared, and we sit here and take advantage of this thing called sobriety so much because we just can't stop the hamster from fucking running. Enough. Quit drinking so much fucking coffee, y'all, at 7:30 at night. Quit giving them fucking sugar, man. Buy a watermelon. Oh, no. They got sugar, too, man. I'm so sorry they do this to you guys. Drink water. See, I still drink a lot. I double fist. And, you know, I just had to stop doing a lot of things. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I went through via treatment facility. And I was 86 pounds, and I was swallowing my regurgitation. I had no veins left. And I was 86 pounds. I had to get a medical clearance, and they almost didn't want to clear me because I was so sick. And I walked into my first treatment, and then I found God, and her name was Terry. And we laughed because, you know, I don't know why they put alcoholics in a treatment facility, and now they're co-ed up, like across the halls, there's men on one side. Yeah, right. And tell you guys not to have sex. That's funny. And the ones telling you not to have sex are old timers who forgot that they used to pray or masturbate before they fucking even got started, you know? But I'm there with you. I understand. I feel you, youngsters. I really feel you. Because I didn't get sober by choice. And you know, I did. It was a choice, but I really believe it had nothing to do with me. I take no credit for standing up here today. Never do I say it's because of me or AA, or I say it's because of the God in Alcoholics Anonymous I found. And get this, y'all. I fucking was raised Jehovah Witness, dude. That's fucking insane in itself. But anyway, I got sober and I came into Alcoholics Anonymous July 21st, and I was damaged, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't know I was damaged. And I would stay sober and I'd go to college. A motherfucker went to college. I got a full-page scholarship to San Diego State. And a motherfucker couldn't get out of math 1 with a C or better, so I drank instead of Blew Up City College. Makes sense, right, bruh? I did all that, and it was hard because they were doing psych med lab rat on me, too, because I had an imbalance. And I still fucking do, but I don't take medicines no more. I'm not telling you guys to stop. Please don't, because I'd hate to hear about the news in Santa Maria and Glenn called me and three of you guys committed suicide because you quit your bipolar medication. I was forced to stop. I ended up on Crime Stoppers this last relapse. I didn't come back. I was in a motorcycle accident, and I was bedridden for 18 months. So, because I drank after I didn't get out of college, and then I went back. I didn't stay out long, 10 days, because, man, it wasn't cute. I had gangsters in the house. My girlfriend was enormous. She was freaking out. We had cars and home. You know, we were doing shit. And all of a sudden, here comes all these fucking parlier fucking gangsters, dude. And she was just fucking, and she called the police and said, Deborah, you got to do something. So I left the house before they got there. You know, you don't wait for the popos, man. I don't care. The fuck does that? She was white. Okay, I don't date white women anymore. But God damn it, she was a white girl. She called the police. She was scared. Because when I saw them dudes, I'm like, fuck. And I knew it's dangerous getting rid of Danger Will Robinson. So anyway, I would get back into AA and probably stay sober. And then I would just say two years, two and a half, and then go back out. And me and my sponsor, who's my sponsor now, were the relapse kings of the San Joaquin. He would relapse, and I would relapse, and he would come back in and do 2 or 3 years, and then he'd relapse. Well, this went on, and, you know, they hit me on my motorcycle, and I was bedridden for 18 months, so they had to give me. I came to in the emergency room. They said I died 3 times en route to the hospital. And when I came to, I see, look over to the side, and there was this electric saw looking thing. The dude came up to me, a little fucking Punjabi dude talking about me, and I couldn't hear nothing except he just said, and my medical decision is to amputate. I said, motherfucker, don't cut off my leg, and I passed out. Because I was already, I never came to, they made the decision for me, but I believe God woke me up because then I'd have been called, blow me down and call me tumble, stump leg, you know. This is really my leg, it's all put together though. So I would stay bedridden 18 months and I'd find out who my friends were, and then they put me on methadone for medical maintenance, because you have to put somebody in that state, severe of physical pain, and on something. And my doctor at the time was an addictionist specialist in recovery. So he said, and we'll detox you medically when you're up and walking and you're on the other side of this. Well, I didn't come back to AA. I don't remember AA when I get under the influence, so I don't do nothing, not even caffeine, because if I would have drank caffeine in here, I'd been on the roof with a gun tonight. See, I don't like that feeling. It makes me restless. Caffeine makes me restless. I don't do Red Bulls. It's a monster. This motherfucking Jeff asked me, did I want a Red Bull? I said, he tried to set me up. He trying to get me arrested in Santa Maria. He is. I said, no, bro, just bring me a big water. Shit, motherfucking Red Bull. Ooh, that's all I need. See, I'm mentally ill. I know I have an imbalance and I'm fast, but I think Puerto Ricans are fast. We talk fast and we quick. I don't know. I start telling people, maybe you slow. See, instead of taking their pills and putting my hands on them, because now I have 2 strikes. I ended up in prison, people. After I got up, I walked into methadone because they take away your take homes when you start walking. And people start seeing me, and I started making that little limp, a gangster walking. Next thing I know, I'm selling again and rolling around with jewelry, okay? And shit got real. And then I became another substance abuser of something made rock, you know, that makes us chemists. And a lot of drinking, I never not drank, but I am a crackhead. Yeah. I look pretty good, huh? See, these are mine looking. They're mine, I'm telling the truth. And you know what would happen, man? I'd end up on Crime Stoppers. My old lady turned me in. She told me, you're going to know what it is to have a woman scorned, bitch. Well, watch it. Fellas, watch out for them women. They will call the police on you. I watched a movie where this lady was just beating herself with a hammer. And it was on Facebook, too, and she's trying to make marks. And was going, man, watch them. Guys, is it worth it? I'm celibate today. I do. I'm not selling a bit here and selling a bit there. I'm actually really celibate. I got out of prison, and I don't ever want to be around that many fucking women ever again in my life. I can't even stand myself in a room because I hear me, but one more other one, I'm just fucking not well. I'm not able to do it, and it's okay today. It took a long time. I'm going to give you my sobriety date because I think it's important. Because people like me don't stay sober. We die or we get murdered in the streets. Well, the alcoholism takes over and all the other substances, and we get really sick. We get hepatitis. We get lesions in our lungs, in our bodies, and we die. And we die real horrible deaths on hospice called morphine. So what's the point? I'm going to do my best to die with dignity and integrity for me. I've seen it happen. My mother just died in July. And that was a big fear that my sponsor asked me 2 things when he first got me sober. He goes, Deborah, what would be the 2 reasons you'd give yourself permission to drink? I said, when I get off parole. I had 3 years, y'all. They had me on 3-year parole. Can you figure that shit? But I'm high control violent offender, and I didn't understand why this boy only doing, why I got 3 years? You know, I could not even imagine not drinking for 3 fucking years. Who does that? When you guys say you're double digits, like this motherfucker got 20, 30, how much years you got, Jeff? 27. I still think, who wants to be sober that fucking long? Yeah. I still think it. I'm just going to tell you my time, not because it's significant. It's only significant to people that are new. I'm 9 years, and that's fucking insane. I'm a criminal. I'm a convict. I'm a homosexual, which is really all bad. In the church, we're not welcomed. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had two fistfights in AA this time around, male and female. I don't trip. You want to, hey, let's get off. Hurt people. I'm threatened. I'm going to protect myself. I mean, this is a real story. This bitch is laughing, but after I hear this shit on the tape, I'm going to say, why the fuck did I say that? But Jeff told me to get him up here and be real, and I don't know how not to be because I'm still in anxiety. I'm waiting for myself to calm down, and this motherfucking hamster does not want to stop. So I'm just going to roll with it, okay? I'm going to bounce all over the fucking place, but I guarantee you I'll get back to what Alcoholics Anonymous did for this motherfucking queer dyke, criminal, homosexual, convict. They call me all kind of, you criminal, homosexual, criminal, like five names. I go, man, just say Deborah, dude. Okay. They do it in AA too. I've been hated in AA, so I understand being judged in these rooms. That's what people do that don't work the steps. Hurt people. But I mean, we didn't give a fuck when the dope man was judging us. Why the fuck are you gonna cry when the fucking broken ass drunk did? Fuck him, man. We start getting along in the hood. We start smelling the same and shit. Well, okay, maybe not, because I'm a germaphobe. I can't smell like y'all. I'm sorry. But anyway, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous this time around via a girlfriend who took all the police on me. Y'all, I'm gonna tell you something. He's dimes. So my friend Jeff names us, okay, by our crimes. I'm not a really good criminal, not that kind of. I went to prison for robberies, okay? I got addicted to robbing Valeros and Santa Claus. I'm Jehovah's Witness, it's a man in a fucking suit, dude. The fuck I give a fuck about Christmas? He shouldn't have been wearing a mask. He's the one that was robbing me, dude. It doesn't fly right with the police department. Not Fresno PD. But anyway, this is what happened. I had hair and I cut it off and I made a mustache. I got some Thunderbird and I'm just, not Thunderbird, I've got me, I love Corona because I had to have expensive alcohol because my body was so toxic from all the years that I had to drink shit that was expensive. Like, I couldn't buy I don't know how you guys drink that 99-cent cheap-ass beer. What is it called? Steel or some shit? I don't know. That's just, I couldn't do it. I would smell it and throw up, and the object is to keep it in. Yeah. Okay, so. I thought I was tripping when I thought like that. But I can't drink that. I never drank that shit after, not on crack. On heroin, I drank any goddamn thing. I don't give a fuck. Even NyQuil trying to fucking get the DDs off of me. But I was pretty good. I was successful criminal on that other substance with alcohol. I was really successful. There's a lot of people that like to sell drugs. And you put them in little fucking ghetto apartments and give them $200 to smoke. And I said, just don't smoke. Call me when it's gone. And I made money off other people doing the selling it. It's really easy. It's not, there's so much money in this game. I don't even know why you people are broke sober. I don't understand. When I got out of prison, this is real. I had two strikes, nobody would hire me. So I started mowing lawns on donation because my sponsor said something fucked up like, Debbie, you can't get a business license. You can't charge a minimum wage. And I'm like, well, you don't have a business license. So I said, well, buy me one, and he didn't, which is good. So what I had to do was start taking it on donation. So that went pretty good until you go to the wrong motherfucker's house, and you know, my hair looked good. You see, guys, I'm all layered, right? And, this is OCD. I gotta be layered. I mean, lines and shit. And well, same thing with my lawns. I did everything I do is 110. I don't know how anybody doesn't. I don't know how to not do 110. My work is phenomenal. It doesn't change me. If I do your car, I'm gonna do detail the hell out that motherfucker. I might steal it after I'm done, like this man's phone up here. He said he's going to record me and shit. I think that's criminal because my head's still thinking, this motherfucker recorded me. Deborah, watch what you say. There are people in AA that will call the police and put you in prison. I've been there. So be careful what you tell other people in here, especially if they're crimes where you have to wear anklets. There's only two reasons, so be careful, y'all. Just saying, some of us know this shit. So anyway, when I got out of prison from all of this running, I was on Crime Stoppers. I went in. They were looking for a male Hispanic. That's gangster, huh? You know it is. I cut off all my hair. I put 2 teardrops. I put a paño around my head. I'm Puerto Rican. I ain't lying, but I just did it because I said, they'll blame a Chicano. Man, I went to my friend downstairs that smoked that crystal stuff, and she was just all tight. I go, give me your son's football gear. So I put that on, and so I look like a big, you know. It's sad to be a little buff little dude, because when they ran it on crime, 5'4", 5'5", male Hispanic. That was a short-ass man. Sorry, fellows, that you're small. You're small. I hear you're not small everywhere, but I hear you're short. I don't have to know all this, though. But anyway, that's how they run it, and I ended up on Crime Stoppers. So how I ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous is I end up going to prison, okay? I left out of the methadone clinic. I was 3 days smoking and drinking, and I didn't give a damn about my cars and shit, and I let somebody take one of my cars. Matter of fact, a Honda Accord. It had $2,000, 20-inch rims on it, $2,000 rims on it, and I let it go, man. But I had just robbed Santa Claus. He was working in a Valero, you all. Come on, man. This is some real. You have to go. Glenn, go with me, Glenn. I know you'll understand. You're dimes. I know you know. And so I went in there, and there was Santa Claus, man. But see, you know what's so sad about trying to be a criminal and you know you're not? You rob a gas station, and you end up running out of gas in front of a treatment facility. In front of a treatment facility, Cap, I run out of gas. Mustache all hanging over now, and my partners in crime jumped out the car. I pass out from the adrenaline and had a hit and just out of gas, I just passed out. Nobody called the police. I don't know why. I said, don't park in front of this house, so we pushed it across the street, and nobody called the police. I don't know how I knew that. So I come to, somebody's knocking on my windows, my partner's in crime. They said, if that bitch still in the car, she got money and dope. So I open my eyes, mustache all off. I pissed on myself. This isn't cute, y'all. This is the reality of my end. And I had been sober at 30, and I did not get it. So anybody young in here, really young, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know why you look so sad. I wish I knew. And girl, don't let them motherfuckers tattoo on your face no more, okay? They get on that shit. No, I got it all over, but thank God I almost put it on my face, but I didn't. Thank God. But see, there's still giveaways. I don't care where you put them. They still, you go to police, you got any tattoos? No. You strip, I got 187 above my uterus up here. On my pelvic, 187 on my pubic line because I committed the ultimate murder. I took out my uterus. That didn't fly in prison when they saw 187. Come on, y'all, and are you criminals? 187, that don't fly. They said, oh, yeah, and I'm butt-ass naked. And men, women, everybody, they're looking at me. I got 187 on my, right above my punani. I said, I'm fucked in here. I'm not going to have a good time in this penitentiary. Man, this is the truth, and this is a lot is missing. A lot is missing, but these are the realities of what finally the decisions I wasn't making. And then, you know, I get into the Valley State Prison System, and they keep me on the yard for 6 months because I'm a psychiatric, right? Because I was fighting my case. That wasn't me, Rod. That looked just like me. My old lady knew it was me on TV, and so did the kids. My baby mama that I raised some children with. You think that's funny shit? We get married and we get to marry. Are you Republican or what? These fucking Republicans. I played. Jeff, calm down. I know so many Republican homosexuals, it's disgusting. But they live in the closet. Like Trump. Okay. I had to say that too, because, you know, we got to stick together, us rebel liberals and shit. Anyway. The end result is this. I get caught. I go to prison. I do 85% of 3. I was looking. Oh, no. Before they caught me, before I went to prison, I remember I broke my back. The feds were on me, that's why I did robberies. This is what happened. I started doing robberies because the feds are on me. And I was looking at 25 to life with the feds. So in that state of mind, I said, go do a robbery and they'll you'll be in prison, they'll let you go. I'm not a good criminal, I'm telling you, I run out of gas, so what do? I rob that Valero, Santa Claus is working, I go back a week later. That's a brilliant idea. They call me an addictive thinker in court. But I go back to the same location because they think nobody would go back to the same location. So I go back the next week to the same location, but Santa Claus is gone because now it's January. And a fucking Punjabi was working. I pull my little car over, I get all right. I go out and I pull my mask up and I'm coming up and I pull, and there's this big ass fucking Punjabi. I mean, he's tall and he's smoking a cigarette at the door. I said, give me the fucking, get in and give me the fucking money. Don't rob a Punjabi because they come from a third world country. They don't give a fuck. We don't bomb their kids. They ready for one. Please make his day. He says, shut up, bitch. He could have called me a dyke and I'd have been all right. But the motherfucker called me a bitch, bro. You know what I had to get down, right? He has my hand, and I'm thinking, I'm a criminal, right? He has my arm, and he's... Now, this is another pathetic thing. I went into the store and robbed him with a pellet gun. CO2 pellet gun, okay? So I go over there, and he looks at the gun, and he says, shoot, bitch! Yeah, I couldn't get him off me, so I go, pop, 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 pop. Next thing I know, I'm running to the car. I look in the rearview mirror. This motherfucker on the ground going like this. And I got away from that one. And I didn't get caught either. So I... Cool shit, right? The following week, this is what... Jeff gave me a name. He's Dimes. And I'll let him tell you why. But he calls me Donut House Deb. I robbed a donut house, y'all. I got addicted to robberies. I didn't have to. I just got addicted to it. So the day they got me, prior to all of this, I jumped out of two stories. The feds were on me, so they knock on my door, right? And I'm blowing up Peru. You go with me, okay? I'm blowing up Peru up in that camp. Weapons and everything all in there, and about six people. We just, as long as they didn't get on the carpet and start crawling and opening blinds, I was cool with them, or else you'd get put out. But other people, I need people around when I'm up there like that, man. I just fucking fuck myself up. I opened the door because for that 1 minute, I knew the police were looking for me. So I said, if you come to my house, if I let you, say, Tomboy, you home, because I won't answer. They knock, I don't say nothing. Well, this time I let out a good one. And I exhaled and I opened the door and there was a po-po. I have a gun in this hand and I'm like, the pipe on this one, so I'm going. That cop is looking at me, it was a motorcycle cop, and next thing he says, he needed me to step outside, is when my ears caught, was able to hear, but instead of the wah, wah, wah. I looked at him, he goes, and you have a warrant, so you have to come with me, Miss Labor. I said, please, I'm on calendar, dude. And I don't know where I started talking, because usually I don't talk on this shit. I just... And I'm looking at him, and I said, this motherfucker, but my head is going, I'm criminal. I said, sir, I'm on calendar. He goes, I thought you would say that, and I looked. He said, but you're not on calendar. I go, yes, I am. And when he was talking, I go, sir. He goes, Deborah, I need you to come out. And as soon as he looked down, I slammed the door, and he put his boot, but I got it shut, and I locked it. And then I'm standing there like, now what, you crazy bitch? You know, I'm fucked. I'm fucked. So I got about maybe 20 minutes before they bring the dogs in, and they get to kick it in because I have a warrant, felony warrant. So I look at my people, I go, I'm a jump. Two stories, man. I go a fucking room. I take another blast. I get my pellet gun out. And I jump. And I break my fucking back. See, in my mind, I thought I was going to land like Starsky and Hutch, tuck the rope. Splat. Okay, so I get up, though. And I look up and I go, throw me my Heineken. So they drop me down a Heineken. And I'm thinking in the last seconds, I got to turn which way I'm going to run. So I went this way and I had my ankle was twisted. So I run this way and the... Well, you got about this much room on the side of the house. And I didn't think the cop would come that way, and he did. So they got me. Well, they let me out 72 hours later. They put me back on calendar, and then after all that, all the robberies, okay? So I just wanted to let you guys know I'm damaged physically. I have hardware from my hip down to the ankle from the motorcycle wreck that I was bedridden. This one, I broke shadow boxing on Thunderbird. in the 90s before I got sober. I thought I could fight y'all. I really did. I thought I was fucking macho, Hector Macho Camacho in this motherfucker. But they would get that ass, boy. And I got pins in that leg, too. They're thinking of reconstructive knee surgery. No, knee replacement right now. But I just did the shot in the knee because I don't... My mom just died, and I think I need to go get some help for that. I never thought I'd watch my mother take her last breath, and I'd be the one to close her eyes and kiss her face and dress her and stuff. So I'm here today because I really didn't have anywhere else to be. I'd rather be watching football, but when AA calls, I never say no. So learn to never say no. You never said no to the dope man, so don't say no to the hope man. See, that's what I tell people. I say, don't, you never said no. And so it's almost like reverse psychology for me when it starts. And I'm going to tell you about what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. I got caught. That's what happened. I got caught. And thank God for that, because she saved my life. She thought she was scorning me, but I didn't give a fuck. It took about a year to get over that, you know, but once I got out and I knew I had to go back to her house to get my wallet and shit I left over there, I knew she'd have it because she'd be too scared not to, but I did. And she opened the door and she just started pissing. She was that terrified. I said, girl, it's okay. You saved my life. Do you have my wallet? And she did. And then we did the wild thing and I drank again and all this shit. And yeah, it was all bad. How I ended up back in Alcoholics Anonymous is I went to her house. I parked somewhere in an alley, and when I came to at 5 in the morning, I had pissed all over myself again, and I was in a guest sweater, and I opened my eyes, and there's five black brothers on the back of a truck. These mother smoking cabbies, I could smell it. And my one foot is out. I passed out with one foot out of the window and a gun wrapped around this hand and money on the floor, and I passed out, and there, I opened my eyes. I don't know how long they were there. This is why I know there's a God. I open my eyes and them brothers is looking at me. I'm like, oh, fucking them are them oily, scary looking motherfuckers that you know they've been smoking that cabby shit all night. And ain't no woman around. And they sweating and they just looking down at you like you a fucking lobster. I know y'all know what that feels like. And so I look at them and I say, sup. Sup. And they look down and they go, sup. And I look at them and I said, why didn't you guys fuck with me? Because by this point, they're going to kill, something's going to happen. And they looked at me and they said, one said, we thought you was playing possum. He sounded like from New Iberia or some shit, Louisiana. And I looked, I said, all right. So they didn't do nothing. I just got my foot in the car. I shut the door, I started the car, and I got out of there, and then I walked into my, I went and took a bath, because the people I was living with thought I was sober, and I went into my Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, I was shaking, it took 43 days to get over 33 days of drinking, and I walked into that room, and I had been in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I hated the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, so I used to went in there, and I said, I don't like you motherfuckers. But let me help me get 30 days and I'll do the rest. Oh, hard steel. With a pellet gun. They just looked at me and they just said, keep coming back. And I used to hate that shit. Keep coming back. Now I say it, not a lot though, because I'm my own individual. See, I'm not unique. I'm a limited edition. They don't make them like Debrell and Jeff knows. They don't make them like me. Really, they don't, because many of us don't make it. And it's not over yet, see? I'm 57, but it's not cute being on... This is my biggest nightmare if I was to relapse, that I'll be pushing a fucking breather treatment on a walker into methadone, looking like them, and I told my brother, just kill me. So a lot of it has to do with pride, but it is a good thing, because I don't want to die like that. Because we don't die right away. We get old, and we look fucked up old. And it's not cute to be a fucking alcoholic at 60 and 50. It's not admirable. 30 years old, let them, 30-year-old kids, you ladies, get sober men. Let them help you. You don't have to do what we did. 9 years is not, I got out of prison. I went to prison at 45. Who does that? I couldn't fight them dykes. Man, I walked in there and they put me over the yard. Finally, I look and this one had a mustache and a beard. He said, what's up? And I looked at my homegirl, I said, are we in co-ed? She said, "No, bitch, that's a girl." I said, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die." I made that motherfucker green eyes. You guys seen Scared? She's in there, green eyes. I made that bitch my friend. I gave her noodles all the time. Your green eyes, just your girl. You got me, guy, bro. Your bro. So anyway, I'm gonna tell you what Alcoholics Anonymous does with people like me, because I, you know, this is really comical, but it's real and it's sad and it's a reality that some of us die. We go surf and drink and get on boogie boards and we can't even walk. I mean, it took everything for me to climb a wall today with Jeff just to sit at the ocean because I'm damaged. And it's possible eventually one day I won't be able to walk. I'll be in an electric chair, but I goddamn you, me, I guarantee you, homie, I'll be with an 8-track on that motherfucker. I sure will. You know what saves me and keeps me sober, honey? You can work the steps, and I'm going to tell you something real raw and real. Because I'm not in here to pretend or scare you into AA or working the steps. Fucking do what you're going to do. Actually, Real Alcoholics Anonymous tells us to tell you to go out and have some controlled drinking if you think you ain't finished. We encourage you to go get that drink on. This ain't about saving you. This is about God's ability to utilize us to become a vessel for Him. We can't do this shit. You see what I do. I take women out of treatment. I give a fuck. I don't know how to love. I don't know. I only know what love isn't. So I got celibate to save you, not for me. I'm not emotionally mature enough to pretend I love you. Y'all too fucking needy, though, ladies. You guys do some shit like scratch up people's cars and shit. See, that's a third strike. I can't do it. I'm going to be real. That's a third strike. I'm going to prison and you're not worth my time to do it. I'm not doing it. So I left you all alone. I let the fellows have you, you know. But if they come to me, man, you know, I'm not opposed to letting you watch. Okay? All right? I'll let you watch, bruh. Fed ya. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I just don't know how to end this because I'm sweating it now. I need a drink, Jeff. You shouldn't have brought me here, man. Okay. I met a man. His name is Pat. He's a little fucking white dude. Old dude, too. We were the relapse. Remember him, Pat? I mentioned him that we were both relapsing back in the 90s. I came out of prison and I walked into that meeting and he was there. But I didn't like him. I don't like nobody. I told everybody, I wouldn't take none of you motherfuckers to a chicken fight. So don't ask me for nothing. I was so angry and so volatile and so reckless. And they just left me alone. And I kept coming back. And I was on 3 years of parole. And two parole agents would come in the AA meeting and just humiliate me because they hated. I made them hate me. The police department of Fresno didn't like me for a long time. But now, you know, things change because Alcoholics Anonymous lets you change your attire. Maybe not your look, but your attire, what you represent yourself as. How you act. I prefer real instead of fake. You don't have to smile. I'm always happy. I'm bipolar. I'm all kinds of things diagnosed. But I flipped it on him. I told the doctor, maybe you're the bipolar motherfucker. Did you ever think about that? That's what's wrong with you people. All you guys are they're the biggest pharmaceutical dope dealers in the fucking pharmaceutical community. They want you guys on pills. And you guys take them like the doctor said. I quit doing that shit. Because I'm in a meeting like, you shut my mouth, I'm talking. I was not doing that, man. I had to look like I didn't rob places with pellet guns. I had to be cool. So you know what I did? Parole had me, and this is the gospel, parole had me on 800 milligrams of Seroquel, bruh. High control violent offender. They wanted me sedated so that I don't do a crime, because statistically, the recidivism of prison going back in recidivism, 1 or 2%, if you're lucky, actually stay out and stay clean or ever get it. So I went in and I took it because I thought I was mandated and I'm going back to prison. I didn't want to be around that many women, so I took the damn Seroquel, right? My sponsor finally told me, and I went in and I go, look in me, and I couldn't barely function, but my brain was trying to fight to get clear-headed. You know, it was fighting over the Seroquel. That's how strong our minds are. Because I wanted to look approved, acceptable. But I was, man, that's 800 milligrams. That's a lot of Seroquel, man. I don't know how the hell I got dressed that morning, but I got to parole. And man, my sponsor said, Deborah, stop taking that stuff. I go, I gotta take me to prison. And he grabbed my face. They go, like a prison, baby. Like a prison, man. 10 days later, I hadn't taken none, and he kept an eye, and he just told me they can't test you from psych meds. And little by little, I started to come to. But the next 3 years of my sobriety were the most horrendous. I worked the 12 steps in 162 days because, see, a bitch didn't have time to play. I was in 2 fist fights in AA. Hear me now, that's a third strike. One was an old scared ass little girl, and thank God my sponsor jumped in front of me because I'm on top of him. On top of her on the table, and he has both arms, and I'm trying to get to that bitch, I will kill. Third strike, terrorist threat. But none of that mattered. See, people, we get so scared in here that we think we have to get off first, and I understand that philosophy. That's just fear, man. We've been hurt and tormented, and most of it done to ourselves for a long time. So it ain't gonna go away because of the steps right away. I'm fucking telling you, man. It doesn't go away, bro. I'm looking around here to see 3 ways out of this motherfucker right now for me. The lady asked me to have all these speaker seats. I had to sit to my back to the wall still. But that's kind of smart because motherfuckers are starting to shoot up motherfucking McDonald's and shit. I'm wondering which one you might have a gun. I want to get my murder brother's chain off my neck. You know, we never know. I usually don't wear this stuff, but you know what? These all have a story. This isn't to be bling blinging. My brother was murdered in this 35 years ago. My mother died and she left it to me, the dope fiend, criminal, homosexual convict. My sister, the Jehovah's Witness, was irate. She put me out of her house. I don't know what to do except to get a little bit calmer and let you guys know about Alcoholics Anonymous. I got about 15 minutes, so don't take long. This ain't to scare you. This is for reals. I worked the steps in 162 days. It's not hard if they're doing, you know, the first 2-3 steps are reading and memorize. You know, I memorized the third step prayer. It's not hard to do. Do the third step prayer like a rap. God, I offer myself to thee. That's how I learned it. Or else do a corrido. You know, do whatever it takes to learn, because you know what, you'll be amazed what your brain can actually memorize. If you can learn how to motherfucking do crystal meth and smoke it and make all that shit, and you guys are all scientific. The least you can do, it's third grade. There might be some 10th grade words in there like altruistic, epic. They have some words in there that I didn't understand, so I got a dictionary, but I like to be smart. See, what I found out when I got sober and I stayed clean long enough and didn't put any substance, mind, or mood-altering chemicals in me, I found out I was terrified, and all I knew to identify it with was anger. So I cussed everybody in AA. I became the coffee patrol, the AA police. I said, you motherfuckers gonna clean up your mess in this motherfucking hood. And my sponsor would just sit there and shake his head. I go, I don't give a fuck. This ain't... You could be, you know, and I did that for about 3 years because I really wanted them to clean up after they got themselves. My sponsor said, Deborah, and he did this one time to me, and I cussed him out too. I said, I'll pick you up. And then I'm going to be real though. He told me, Deborah, real calm and white and blue eyes and spiritual. Deborah, if it bothers you, clean it. Boy, why do you say that to a Puerto Rican insane motherfucker? I said, motherfucker, no, you all church and Christianity and calm and shit. Get up there and use the traditions and say it as peaceful and calm as you spiritually fucking fit and tell them it is your responsibility to clean up after yourself. They probably will listen to you because you white. I always played the white card. It's bad. But I wasn't racist, right? No, that's just white. No, Deborah, but that's not racist. No, they're just white. He told me one time, Deborah, going into Save Mart and eating a banana and throwing the peeling in the Cheerios section is stealing. I said, no, it ain't. Deborah, you ate them four beef jerkies for a dollar and you didn't pay. No, but there was a line, but fuck, no, it's not stealing. I finished them. But see, he started to help me understand that the behavior I had coming into Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't going to stop by me wanting to think it away or to even stop doing it. I had to pray it away, so I went the steps. I got to the third step prayer and I did, God, I offer myself to thee. Listen to those that prayer when you say it. To build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. You're asking him to do something with you. So when you're asking him to do that and you finish the prayer, it's amazing because what happens, for me it did, that's why I'm giving it to you. Especially you broken youngsters, you little young, getting ready to have a baby. Some people were born with religion invested in their families for many generations. So the idea, fundamental idea of God is born in each child, that's in our material. But I got it. I got that. Okay, if I offer myself to God, then there's no Deborah. There's not me. I'm just a vessel. I'm a temple. Now I'm just being used. So there's no me. So I didn't have to do nothing and change nothing or be nothing, which was good at third step. The other shit comes after fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. The ninth step amends. My God, I got a call to punk motherfucker making amends. I almost got a third strike. My sponsor said, Deborah, why did you go make that amends? It wasn't on your list. It's in the never column. I said, because they showed up. You told me if God will put it in front of you. And he just showed up. And this poor man, to this day, he loves me. He loves me, that white man, now he's just, he loves me, Glenn, he does, and he looks at me, and he had something in his eyes. When he took me, and we did the 10 step, it took when I did my fifth step, it took 7.5 hours. I was old, though, see, I got old. So, and I did a lot of shit. The sex inventory was humongous. Y'all better start doing it now while you're young. Don't be Deborah L. Don't be me, man. Ooh, that's not fun. But I did it. And you know what he told me, ironic, after the fifth step? He said, Deborah, and he had tears in his eyes because I'm crying because I said some shit I never told nobody and I had to this time because I didn't last time. And I told him, he goes, everything you just told me will stay in these four walls. He said, but Deborah, I want you to go live your life because now I'm going to carry your burden and it won't affect me that way. You are free. He told me that. And I looked at him and I believed him. Not that I felt it, but I believed him because he was so real and sincere. We've been knowing each other too long. And that we moved, and so I did. I went home and retired. The sixth step says we go someplace for an hour and get quiet. Yeah, right. But I did. I left that house and I went and got quiet for an hour and I took the book. Well, it was with me. It wasn't on the shelf. But see, Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill and Bob know that we weren't going to be carrying that fucking book. So I did the sixth step, and the seventh step was another prayer. And that's why there's no amen at the end of the third, because there's more that's going to happen that's just revealed. And the seventh step is really ironic because it says, my creator, I'm now willing that you should have follow me. What's different from the third step is this one says good and bad. That lets you know you're still going to be bad. Remove from me every single defects which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellow. That means I have to help people. And you know, as I stay sober and clean, I really don't dislike people. I dislike flaws. I do. I dislike disrespectful flaws. But that's not my job. But I did get in two fist fights, and God forgive me. I was going to make them change. And you know what finally happened was I did the eighth and ninth, and halfway through my ninth step, and I didn't believe this until they said it. Halfway through the ninth step, we would be amazed at these promises they tell you. But it didn't happen for me. It wasn't no white light and all that shit. They lying. And if they do, then they're Christian and they go to church. They're probably Catholics. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I still have issues. See, I still have a lot of spiritual issues and abuses. But I don't let that stop me from the God. First, my first God was Group of Dykes. G-O-D. Group of Dykes. That was bad. It didn't work. The next time was a group of drunks. And you know what? It did. We help each other in here. The 10 step is amazing because what it does, it lets me retire at night. We take personal inventory of our lives. See, what I learned about the 4 step, you don't do 4 steps again. What you do is 10 steps every day. You got to learn a fears list, a resentment list, a fears list, and a sex inventory. And I do them faithfully in my retiring at night, and then I write them out in black. My sponsor got all technological. I go, nah, man, it says black and white. You go on ahead then. But I add mine to his in the morning because I write it out. And that's how I teach my sponsors. And the only reason I'm sober today, and this is the truth after 11 and 12, the only reason we stay sober and clean is because I take people home that I wouldn't take to a chicken fight. I work the steps with you women. And some men, I'm not opposed. And I don't say that the men should do that because you all end up doing shit to the girls. I'm just playing because the girls ain't innocent. And I told them this. I said, the man didn't have a gun to your head. And if he raped you in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what you're doing. Stop going places with these men because they're buying you lunch until you know who and what you are and who you're dealing with. There's some good men. Jeff, I would go anywhere with Jeff. I would probably even sleep in a motel bed if the car broke down tonight. But I'd have to spoon him. And I guarantee he liked that. He has to keep that weapon of mass destruction that way. So while I'm standing here, I'm glad I made you guys laugh through a very tormenting time for me because I don't like to reveal myself to nobody. I like to be private and personal because really I think it's none of your guys' goddamn business what the hell I live through. I think it's fucking sad that we have to do this. But what I do know today, there's not a person in here that I wouldn't take the time with to help work the steps if you were close enough to do it because it's easy. I want to see eyes light up and smiles to form back on them faces, and it does. I used to mug. Man, I'm going to tell you what I used to look like when I came in AA at night. They say, Deborah, it's nighttime. I know it's fucking night. I took them off today. It was hard though, see, because see, what you have to do is remove. There's a new pair of glasses. There's a book. Yeah. Get it. Yeah. And you see differently after seeing. And only God does that. Your sponsor doesn't do it. And I guarantee if I tell you anything in here, no human power can relieve you of your alcoholism. God could and would if he wore socks. I mean, if he were socked. God doesn't wear socks. Sometimes I think he does. Gym socks. But I want you to guys find humor in your little saddened, self-pathetic lives right now. Love and embrace your ruins. Yeah, our sad little pathetic lives, we get going, boy, we play that fucking violin and shit gets really redundant. But in the process of being that right now, work your steps, find a sponsor and stick with one. And let God do for you what he cannot do, that only he can do. And I'm going to say this. When I die, at the end of my life, I pray to God of Alcoholics Anonymous that I have no talents nor any gift left. And I can say to him when I see him that I used everything he gave me. So thank you very much for having me in Santa Maria. Is that where I'm at? And I love Alcoholics Anonymous because Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Woo. I'm going to plead the fifth on the dime story, so don't ask. Thank you, and let's give Deborah another round, huh?